I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Anna Simons. She's the program manager at the Etheridge Foundation and all-around epic human. Anna, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
And thank you for also coming in all the way from Hawaii. Very, very jealous. Must be very fun to live on the Big Island, huh?
It's absolutely wonderful. It's an adventure, and every day I'm grateful.
Amazing. So, for everybody who's listening and tuning in right now, you know, Anna's part of the Etheridge Foundation, which is really an incredible organization. You know, their mission is really to support scientific research into the causes and effects of opioid addiction. And Anna's been all over the news, and she's an amazing advocate and educator. She speaks regularly on the benefits of cannabis for athletes and also the wider population. Really great background in history. In 2021, she was an entrepreneur in residence at UC San Diego. She was also an athlete, played rugby for, 20 years, Anna?
Yep.
20 years in the Women's Premier League. And I think you had a few championships as well. And you were part of the All-Star team, right?
The 2015, yep.
Amazing. I mean, that's very, very impressive. Anna, obviously, really amazing career. Things seem to be getting better and better for you. And I think, you know, being a pro rugby player and also becoming an advocate for sports and cannabis, you know, I'd love to hear about how you got involved with all that. Like, talk to us a little bit about, your journey so far.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I really got into the cannabis industry by accident. I got connected with some growers. I had lived in Portland, Oregon for many years before I moved here to the Big Island. And so, as you may know, Oregon passed adult use cannabis in the fall of 2015. Mm-hmm. So shortly thereafter, everyone who had been growing in the robust medical system there was being pushed over into this new regulatory system that encompassed all adult use, whether that was medical, recreational, et cetera. These folks needed some help with transitioning their business over to this new model, new licensing, sort of professionalizing, and found they could use my help with that. So I sort of accidentally got involved, like, oh, I'll just help you guys out part-time. And then that, really grew into being involved and went from there, with different companies and being really immersed in the industry. But, I had started out as just kind of a regular old consumer, if you will.
Yes, like a lot of us.
Right. But then it was this chance opportunity that really just blossomed and opened all these doors, and I kept following them. So here we are now.
Amazing. And so talk to us also, a little bit about, your work with the Etheridge Foundation.
Yes, I'm so excited to be working with the Etheridge Foundation. So this is, of course, the legendary musician Melissa Etheridge's nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And it is a newer organization. It was founded in the wake of a family tragedy. Sadly, Melissa's son passed away from an opioid overdose, and he was very young, 21. And this is something, opioids are something that touches most families now in America in some way. It is truly an epidemic. And so really, Melissa is somebody who believes in the power of various plant medicines or nature-based medicines. And they had done their absolute most to, to get treatment for her son, and it wasn't effective. And so, out of that tragedy, she's looking to change what is available and accessible to people, the types of treatments, and we want effective and holistic services that really address some of the underlying causes of addiction, as well as, not just the chemical itself, but really underlying mental health issues, trauma, and those kinds of things. So really this wraparound view of healing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Now, I read a little bit that you were also involved in the Last Prisoner Project.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador as well. And that is another wonderful nonprofit organization. You know, many people may have heard of them, but if you haven't, the Last Prisoner Project focuses on freeing every cannabis prisoner here in the U.S. And so it's a very worthy mission. And especially if you are part of the industry, it's kind of a moral imperative.
Absolutely. I mean, they're doing a phenomenal job. And, you know, so many partners that we're working with are also involved. And it's important, you know. You know, I think one of the things that really kind of caught my attention with you, and, you know, it's great because you and I don't even know each other, but, you know, I was reading about, you know, the whole grant with the NFL, you know, and cannabis with University of California, San Diego. And I know that you're involved in that research. And so that got a lot of attention, you know, across news outlets, and a lot of people in the cannabis space also kind of said that, wow, this is very good. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, really, I guess, leading, you know, what the research was, right? How it actually came together with the NFL and, you know, really your involvement overall in the study.
Yeah, well, this was like a perfect storm in a good way of all my interests coming together at once. Yeah. And so I was working with UCSD as the entrepreneur in residence. And obviously, I have my background as a rugby player and then my, you know, my work in the cannabis industry. And I've been primarily an educator, teaching people about cannabis science, as well as an advocate. So UCSD has a Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research, the CMCR, and they are really world class. They've been doing incredible research for a number of years now. And so they are such experts at what they do in terms of being clinicians and researchers. And so they were interested in pursuing the NFL had put out this request for proposals for studies that would address cannabis for pain management in elite athletes like NFL players. And the CMCR came up with the idea of doing a clinical trial in professional rugby players. So that was the, you know, we can't just jump right to using the NFL players themselves. They're not going to fund that at this point. But that is essentially kind of the closest thing we can get to similar demands being put on the body. And so it was really cool to help as they were designing the study to give input on to, you know, this is what rugby players need. This is what our schedules are like. This is how training goes. This is what works for most people's bodies. And this is what most people are doing currently. And so all of the factors that went into designing it to be the most effective and realistic study, and really to make an impact. So what I love about this study is it is a clinical trial in humans and rugby players. And we are looking at using vaporized cannabis flower. So, you know, using a medical grade FDA approved vaporization device. So I think it is, I'm a big fan of flower. So I think that is really exciting. And it's realistic to how many players are currently using cannabis.
So while I have you here, I kind of feel like there's something I wanted to ask you just because it's relevant right now, but I'm, you know, the athlete in Russia right now who's in jail for a vape.
Brittany Griner.
Yes. What do you think about that?
Oh, it is heartbreaking because she's essentially a political prisoner.
Yeah.
You know, number one, people are saying, oh, well, that was stupid of her to try and sneak something in or out. I mean, it's a little unclear to me whether she was coming or going.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, the Russian security forces have been known for planting things on people before as suits their needs. And autocratic regimes across the world have no problem detaining people for whatever reasons they want. You know, they say, oh, they're a spy, or they, you know, they make up things. We've seen that in North Korea, Iran, other places, right? And Russia, not a lot different. So, number one, we don't know if she actually did that or if this is, you know, planted. But number two, this is medicine for a lot of athletes. And I mean, it's something that shouldn't be criminalized. I think I personally wouldn't risk traveling internationally, but there may have been precedents for that. You know, she's been playing over there for quite some time, I think at least 5 years. Most WNBA players, the vast majority of players in the league, also play overseas on their off season because they can make a lot more money. They have to support themselves, you know, and so they're doing that. And so it may be that this has been something that her team said, that's no problem. You know, it's been never been a problem in the past, but all of a sudden with geopolitical, you know, the war looming, suddenly this was an opportunity for a bargaining chip with the US. So I think, you know, I think it's just so unfortunate and horrible that she's caught up in it. And, you know, she's facing, with Russian drug laws, they could, you know, throw her in prison for years. And I really hope that doesn't happen, but I don't know that any movement will be made until there's more resolution towards the war with Ukraine as well.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate, but you know, I think I definitely wanted to ask you just because, you know, it's, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand here, but I think going back to the, you know, the grant, with the NFL, I also find it kind of interesting timing too, right? Because, you know, they had rolled out new policies last year, you know, around cannabis, right, for players. And so it's kind of, it's really great to see this progression of like, okay, in the spring of last year, they rolled it out that, you know, essentially, you know, the new policies for, you know, smoking or, you know, utilizing any type of THC and loosening those. And then obviously the study is coming out, but I think it's so important. And you probably of all people playing rugby have seen, you know, how people can get hurt and brain injuries and like how cannabinoids are really helping heal people, you know. And, you know, I see this all the time with like, you know, hockey players and football players. And I have a lot of friends now who actually have started, you know, cannabis companies that are really the much needed help, you know, for TBI and all these injuries. And so it's great to see that we're finally moving into this, you know, this era of, yes, the plant is actually, it's beyond recreational. It's medicine, right? It's healing people. And, I kind of feel like even for me, like I've always kind of dabbled with, you know, cannabis throughout my young adult life. And even when I was a kid, and now I don't really smoke all that much, but I definitely will take edibles at night to go to bed because I have a problem sleeping. Right. And that's the only thing that works for me where I wake up the next morning and I feel great. And I don't have like, you know, if you take like these over the counter, like NyQuil or Advil PM, I don't know what it does to me, but the next day I'm just an asshole. You know, I'm just like, right. I'm in a mood. I don't know what it is, but like with cannabis, I wake up, I'm not tired, I'm ready to go. It's like I didn't take anything, right? And it's natural.
That's perfect.
Yes, it's perfect.
That's what you want.
So I think all these things are just really great, you know, great movement, great for everybody. You know, how do you think, you know, when it comes down to policies and rules as well around consumption, like how will that change for athletes like later down the line? You know, because I know even in the Olympics, right, it's really like, no, you can't do any of that.
Right. Yeah. So this is something that still needs to be fought for, I guess. You know, we still need a lot of activism simply to get governing bodies to recognize the science that exists. And the science is, like you mentioned, that cannabinoids can be neuroprotectants. They are neuroprotectants. The US government actually has a patent on them for that purpose. And not only that, they have many other different therapeutic applications, but they are not performance enhancing drugs. And so this is one of the reasons that you know, with, I'm also involved with a group called Athletes for Care, which is a nonprofit. And we created a petition to the World Anti-Doping Agency a couple years ago, asking them to remove THC and cannabis from their prohibited in competition substances list. Now, this list doesn't have alcohol on it, you know, and it doesn't, there are plenty of things. The rationale is simply no longer there, that cannabis would be harmful to the health, or that it would be performance enhancing, or that it's against the spirit of sport. You know, all of these things don't apply. And so, but yet their organizations are stuck in this old fashioned stigma that was, again, it was never scientific. It was based on political agendas that different countries and administrations had, you know, primarily the US pushing drug policy around the world. And so we have been way too slow to correct this, right? Because in the meantime, people could be benefiting from these gentle natural medicines, and they're not able to, you know, in athletes and everybody else. And so we athletes, we can kind of lead the way. We have a platform, and so we really need to keep pushing and get not only legalization with the laws, but we also need leagues to start recognizing that cannabis is therapeutic, and also that even used recreationally, it's not a harmful drug of concern. You know, it's not even as bad for someone as alcohol, not even close. So, right. And we just don't see alcohol being prohibited recreationally by any sports league. So, you know, let's get it together. Let's look at the science and make things how they should be.
Totally. Well, I mean, I think, you know, we'll see what happens next year, but maybe the Super Bowl will see a cannabis commercial. Who knows? But yeah, that'll be nice. I saw, like, I forgot who it was, but it was like the funniest thing ever. It was just like, yeah, people drinking and getting wasted, and they don't even remember who won the game yet. People who are smoking or doing edibles during a game or, you know, watching, right? Like, it's just a tale of two completely different worlds, right? Mm-hmm. No, I've really enjoyed having you on the show. And, you know, obviously, you know, congrats on everything that you've done, and congrats on the grant. And it's pretty amazing. You're doing such great work. And it's great to have people out there like you, and really kind of moving, you know, this whole movement forward and helping people at the same time. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Jeff. I appreciate the chance to talk about all these things and keep spreading awareness. So, you know, the more people who join our movement, the better.
So, Anna, thank you for coming on, and for everybody, you know, tuning in. Anna Simons.
Rhymes with diamonds.
Thank you, Anna Simons, for joining us today, and appreciate everything.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.